In his new book, Capture: The Corporate Infiltration of American Democracy, U.S. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse is sounding the alarm about the corporate takeover of legislation and policy in our country, the outcome of a strategy decades in the making. Whitehouse says that there is a cultivated influence that benefits corporations and big money interests that are hurting American citizens. The Democrat from Rhode Island combines history, legal scholarship, and personal experiences to take a look at what's gone wrong in Washington, exposing the multiple avenues through which our government has been infiltrated and disabled by corporate powers. Again, the name of the book is Captured: The Corporate Infiltration of American Democracy. It is published by the New Press, and it's a pleasure to welcome Senator Whitehouse to the program this morning. Senator, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate the invitation.
Very nice to have you with us. Obviously, this has been an issue for a while and one that you have dealt with. I'm curious as to at what point you said, I want to address this and write about it.
Well, I started seeing it in a variety of its different guises. In lobbying, for instance, corporations outspend the rest of the world by about 30 to 1. In regulatory work, the industry takeover of regulatory agencies is so frequent that there's a name for it. It's a thing, regulatory capture, it's called. And then recently, just in the time that I've been in the Senate, we've seen this wild explosion of corporate election and political power that followed the Supreme Court Citizens United decision, which basically said, bring all your artillery and go for it, because there's no stop on what you can do.
So obviously we are in a political climate where much of the electorate, or a portion of the electorate, wanted to, quote, drain the swamp. As a Democratic senator, where do you think we are going right now in the very early days of this administration of doing that? And quite frankly, targeting anything that you have addressed in the book as to counter that corporate infiltration?
Well, first, I think that a lot of the Trump voters, as well as a great number of the Bernie voters, were very frustrated by what they saw as non-responsive politics in Washington. And the thesis of my book is that, yep, we are indeed non-responsive, but the reason isn't that government is no good. The reason is that corporate influence has intruded really pervasively, really powerfully, and also very stealthily throughout all the different institutions of government. And you see Trump come in with a very public, populist, break it all up agenda, and then you see him begin to govern, and what do you know? It's the Goldman Sachs guy who is at Treasury. It's the polluters guy who's at EPA. It's the anti-clean energy guy who's at the Energy Department. It's the for-profit education person who's at the Department of Education. So it looks like the swamp has not been drained at all. It looks like the biggest alligators have been put in charge.
Talk a little bit, and you do write about this in the book, about how corporations and these interest groups are able to really intimidate elected representatives. I'm curious as to how you see that as a sitting senator in the state of Rhode Island, and how you are able to deal with it, and what you can see that could be put into in place to eradicate it.
Yeah, well, I see it in things like talking to colleagues who understand that climate change is a problem, and who understand that carbon emissions are the cause, and who want to do something about it, but say things like, oh, I just can't get there now. There's just too much pressure on our side. Or, Sheldon, I'd really like to help you, but I've got to be so deft about how I do this. Or, Sheldon, let's keep talking. You're doing the right thing, but for God's sake, don't let my staff know that we're having this conversation. Because they're just very, very powerful forces lined up behind climate denial and to prevent any climate action, because the stakes are so high. So I mean, I see it very practically in that sense, and that's one of the problems that I talk about in the book. We should be doing something about this, and there are good Republican ways to do this, as three former Republican secretaries of the Treasury just wrote. But the fossil fuel industry doesn't want anything done, not a conservative solution, not a Democrat solution, not any solution. And so people get kind of squashed.
Using that as an example, you write in the book about how special interests can fund fake research and fake news, which is, of course, a term we've heard a lot lately, and these false narratives to create this perception of, oh, we don't really know what the science is. We don't know. This isn't a foregone conclusion as to what's happening with the environment. So how do you drown out that noise and rely on what really is the true science?
It's hard. I mean, climate denial is the original fake news. And the problem is, you got a scientist on one side, right? And the scientist has to go through peer review, which takes time, and is trained in science, not in communication skills. And their ultimate product is accurate science, not a compelling public message. And on the other side, you've got somebody who may know nothing about the science, but is a whiz at packaging the best talking points on talk show radio or TV, and doesn't have to go through peer review, goes straight to the public. And so the real science is at a vast systemic disadvantage compared to the anti-science public relations effort. And one of the reasons I wrote the book is that in my lifetime, I've seen the huge public shift that we had about pollution back in the 70s, and the huge public shift we had towards healthier food. And we need now, I think, to have a public shift in which we demand more of our political discourse. Too much of it is pollution, too much of it is junk food. And in the same way that we were less tolerant of pollution and junk food, we need to be better citizens about discerning what's for real and what is being fed to us by big special interests.
Senator Sheldon Whitehouse is our guest, the Democratic senator from Rhode Island. His new book is Captured, the Corporate Infiltration of American Democracy. You do write in the book about how donors and big money donors and just big money have been working very hard to stack the judiciary in this country, including the Supreme Court, ways that are to try to stack it in ways that are business friendly. Let us look at the current nominee, Neil Gorsuch, and see what you make of that. And is he an example of that?
Well, I think in some respects, yes, we need to find out more through the hearing process. But let's take a look at a decision called Hobby Lobby, which was it's a very big corporation. It has thousands and thousands of employees. It sells things that people use to, engage in quilting and other, domestic manufacture. It's a hobby shop store. And the court that Neil Gorsuch was on faced the question of, should the corporation be allowed to reflect the religious views of its owners with respect to what kind of health insurance it was required by law to provide to its employees? And in that case, the court put the religious rights of the owners transferred to the corporation above the rights of all the employees to get the health care that was statutorily required. So it's a pretty recent thing to imagine that a corporation actually has religious rights, particularly against actual practical health care rights of employees. And that decision was upheld by the Supreme Court, and that's where we are now. So we need to find out more about Judge Gorsuch, but I think that's at least one indication that he is amenable to this kind of whole corporations are people notion. Not only are corporations people, but they actually have religious rights.
Have you met with him yet?
Yes. Very polite, very nice person individually. But the danger is that you get a majority of five on the court that adheres to a lot of these principles, and you get a court that runs wild with 5-4 decisions. And unfortunately, what we have is a court that on its 5-4 decisions has a really terrible record of every time there's an elections case, they decide it in the way that helps the Republican Party. Every time there's a contest between corporations and humans, they decide it in a way that helps the corporations. And that's really not very sustainable.
You just said the word humans, which makes me think of yes, we are all human. And I'm curious for you as a senator and as a Democratic senator of how you move away, or do you move away from what happened with the Merrick Garland nomination? Is that something that is difficult to get over, to realize, as many believe, that that was a stolen seat?
I think it's fair to consider this a stolen seat, and I think it's unfair that this turned out the way it has. But in the practical power politics of Washington, the Republican majority leader had the power to deny a hearing and a vote to Merrick Garland. And in the same way, that Republican majority leader has the power to force a hearing and a vote on Judge Gorsuch. And so those are the facts that we have to deal with.
You make the point in the book that much of what we've been talking about, and so much of what we've been talking about, really comes down to campaign finance reform in this country.
Yep.
I am interested in your thoughts on that issue of how you believe we should address it, and ultimately why the efforts, the campaign finance reform efforts that have been carted out prior to this have been so unsuccessful.
Well, they've actually been very successful. If you go back to Teddy Roosevelt and the Tillman Act, they more or less shut down all corporate contributions into politics and cleaned things up from what had really been a pretty sickening situation back at the turn of the century. And a lot of what, say, John McCain accomplished with some of his legislation was working. The problem is that as Congress moved forward to protect our elections from undue corporate influence, the Republican appointees on the Supreme Court were busily expanding the political rights of corporations in the political space, with the biggest decision of all being Citizens United saying there are no restrictions on you, you can do whatever the heck you want. And of course, the big danger to that is that if a big special interest can spend whatever it wants, it can also threaten or promise to spend whatever it wants. And those threats and promises are always going to be invisible and always going to be corrupting. And that, I think, is the core of the problem in our democracy right now.
Senator, of course, we are in the Northeast, and this is a very blue section of the world and of this country. However, I am interested in both your feelings and thoughts as to your constituents, and especially the Democratic constituents who voted for you, of how they feel and the fear that many of them have of this administration, and how you are responding to them in regards to the concerns and the anxiety that they have.
Well, I'd be glad to do that. Let me just say one thing first, which is that, you know, even Trump voters have children, grandchildren who have astronomical college debt and have to pay exorbitant prices for pharmaceuticals and worry about what's happening to the trout streams that they used to fish in as a kid. And so I don't think that these issues of corporate power and government are ones that are exclusively Democrat. I think Trump voters were heavily motivated by frustration with government, which I think has at its heart the fact that the big corporate influences have it so jammed up. With that said, I do think that President Trump presents some real structural threats to the democracy that a lot of very good people bled and fought and died to leave to us. The notion that the press is the enemy of the people. The notions that judges who disagree with you should be delegitimized. The notion that dividing people based on their ethnicity or their immigration status is a good way to collect political power. All of these are pretty dangerous notions that have some pretty bad antecedents in time. And so, as Tim Kaine said, we're basically getting a 230-year checkup on our Constitution, and we all need to rally and defend it and make sure that the America that we were given comes out of this intact.
There are many who look at the Democratic leadership and wonder if there is enough being done in that of making sure that that checklist is being looked at. I'm curious as to your thoughts on that, and do you feel there is strong leadership within the Democratic Party?
Fair point. I don't know the House side as well as I know the Senate side. I never served in the House. On the Senate side, I have immense confidence in our new leader, Chuck Schumer. He is ferociously smart, and he's omnivorous for information, and he cares and understands a lot about people, including the people in the Senate. And I think he has innate talents at putting together compromises and understanding how to exert himself in ways that will be effective, that, you know, you may have to go back to LBJ to find somebody with a similar skill set. So I'm pretty optimistic. We've been through a tough patch because so far we've been dealing virtually entirely with nominees, and pretty appalling ones in my view often, who, because they only need 51 votes, we can get rolled and they can shove them all through. Once we get on to legislating and the Republicans need 60 votes to move things through the Senate, then I think that skill set will be deployed with much more effect, and people will begin to see what a talent this leader is.
Rhode Island Senator Sheldon Whitehouse is our guest. The name of the new book is Captured, The Corporate Infiltration of American Democracy. The book is published by the New Press. Senator, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
My pleasure to be with you, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse is the author of Captured, The Corporate Infiltration of American Democracy. He is the Democratic senator from Rhode Island. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.